Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Back to life, back to reality, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Jadon Sancho is a Manchester United player and Neil Warnock has a fanny pack. It's Monday, 26th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Eddie Russell.
What Americans call bum bags.
Yeah, the reason I was laughing is because the scripted line said bum bag and you flip reversed it to funny part.
Flip reversed it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We are back to our regular Monday to Friday schedule from today, right throughout the season, everybody. Right through the season starts here.
Yeah, we decided.
In the name of the Scottish League Cup, the season starts here.
Big game for Celtic coming up as well in the Champions League.
Now you're talking.
So, you know.
Well, if you missed any of our 2020-2021 showcase from the past week and a half, then scroll back after you've listened to this and check out those episodes. There's some treats in there for you, everybody. There is some treats lurking right behind this episode.
Absolutely.
If you
don't sleep on them.
Certainly not. How are we doing, chaps? The Euros, have that sort of fizzled out? You ready for...
You went a bit Brucey then.
Yeah. Didn't I do well? Is it gone? Are you ready?
The fever?
Yeah.
Has the fever subsided?
Yeah.
Yeah, my fever's subsided. There's yours, Andy.
Yeah, I've got a slightly sweaty brow.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Yeah. Well, Andy, we've got to start talking about Jadon Sancho. I mean,
that's why I've got a slightly sweaty brow.
On your Euros predictions that you said one notable mad something or other would be that Sancho wouldn't start a game. You got that wrong. You got that wrong because he started against Ukraine. You also said...
It didn't happen at Wembley. It didn't happen.
You also said that after that game, you know, he would have one more sort of crucial moment in the tournament. And you got that right, sadly.
I'm not sure if I did because I think
really
his penalty miss has been forgotten in between Rashford's and Saka's. Indeed. No one remembers the middle one.
Sorry, England fans, we don't want to go over this.
If you get three A's and a B at A level, no one asks you what the A's were for, do they?
Really?
True.
It's not great. Yeah,
okay. Not a great analogy.
Have another dig at him.
What about Turkey? No, you didn't have them down. Let's talk about Jadon Sancho, though. Yeah. You didn't have them down as your dark horse. You threw everyone a rotten
apple.
No,
I didn't,
there.
Did I? No.
But he's moved to Manchester United, Andy, for initial sort of £73 million. You love old Jadon Sancho. You're a big fan of his. You think that he should start every game for every team he plays for.
Yes.
£73 million, though. Obviously, we're in COVID times, blah, 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 blah. But were you surprised it wasn't a bit more?
No, because there'll be a little bit of add-on, because he's got a year less of contract, and because everyone on all sides needed it to get done.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there will be Manchester United board members and fans out there who will say, well, it showed that Manchester United played it absolutely right all along because they made themselves a saving. He would have made a massive difference to them last season. And they certainly would have...
No, but they wouldn't have won the league, though.
No, but they would have made their money back by getting deeper in the Champions League.
But when I ask about the price tag, though...
I mean look... because I think if you look at them... like, any sort of loss is totally worth it for Dortmund because they made the top four again, down to him. They won the cup, down to him. They got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, down to him. And if he'd have been fit, they may have even gone further. Sorry, City fans.
Okay. But look, Manchester United were after him previously, we know. And then they were quoted way over 100 million for him. And now they've got him for 73. Sometimes you do have to give old Ed Woodward a bit of credit. Yeah.
It's not Ed Woodward doing it now, though, is it?
Is he not involved?
It's not him doing it.
That is a terrible argument. And I'm going to leave that over that side of the room.
But that's
it's like saying every deal that Daniel Levy's done is, oh, well, you know, he's saved himself a couple of quid. It just makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
I have no idea who did the interview.
Well, either way, yeah, obviously, yeah. I joke, I jest, of course.
But he's here now and he's going to be great.
But yeah. It's an exciting move. And I think it's an exciting move because if you look at Manchester United's tradition of having these flying, attacking wide players, I know the role of the winger or the quote winger has changed over the years. One of the big things about Man United in their glory years of the Premier League was that they'd have these really exciting, fast, wide attacking players. Mm. And Sancho certainly fits into that bill, even if he's obviously a little bit more of a modern player than the ones we're probably thinking of that come to mind when we mention that era. And he's a player we know has been coming to the Premier League for some time. I mean, a lot of us here and a lot of people listening will be like, thank God that's just over as a saga, because those sagas do tend to rumble on. And I think
they've spared us a lot of the saga, I think, this summer.
Well, kind of, but there'll be a Paul Pogba one to come.
Who's
that's the point. They're all ongoing.
That's a Cold War. That is.
But I think it's a really exciting move. I'm very, very keen to see him play in the Premier League. I think it's interesting how they've just announced Solskjaer's got a new deal as well. Mm-hmm. What he seems to... So I think with Solskjaer and the current iteration of Man United, it's a pros and cons thing. I think if you're being super cynical and a bit harsh, you'll say, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer ever going to be able to make Manchester United greater than the sum of their parts? And you probably say no. He probably
isn't.
You're
going to say great again. I was like, no, well, you're no. really familiar.
No, he was going there as well.
Yeah, no. I don't think he can do that at this stage. Not to rule out any kind of improvement of him as a manager, but at the same time, he's bringing tradition. He's bringing someone who's familiar with the club. He's bringing someone who loves the club, and he's bringing much needed familiarity. Now, Andy and I were talking before the show, like, what's important to Manchester United as a club now? Well, to me, it feels like the most important thing to them is the protection of their global brand. Mm-hmm. They've got the idea that this big super club and that, you know, they need to be able to garner huge amounts of merchandise sales, huge amounts of broadcasting revenue, et cetera, et cetera. Are they looking after the traditional fans? We know they're not because they've been complaining for a very long time. Mm. But what does Solskjaer give them? It gives them a link back to that. Something we've used that as a stick to beat Solskjaer, may or not have been in the past. Well, what we might be seeing now is it being used as some kind of strength. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win the league. I don't think they will win the league this season. But I think, as Andy's alluded to, it makes him a much better team. Mm. He's a brilliant player. Yeah. And he's going to be exciting because his game is really well suited to the Premier League as well.
I think with United, sorry, Marcus, the recruitment has been better over the last year or two. I still wouldn't say that it's completely functional, but they're getting younger, which is a real start. I think it's interesting timing, though, giving Solskjaer a new contract. Because now, if he's getting all the pieces, let's be clear, there's not going to be fortunes spent in the Premier League or anywhere in Europe, I think, this summer. I think if you get Sancho, if you get Varane, how much... If it doesn't happen now in Premier League and Champions League, and they've just signed him to a new deal, I would have liked to see what he could do with these new players first before giving him a new deal if I was United.
But the alternative to that, though, Andy, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but just as a counterpoint to that, the alternative to that is doing what they've already done post-Ferguson every single time. So there's no stability. It kind of rip it up and start again every time.
And a lot of money being spent.
A lot of money being spent.
But is it worth having that stability if, as you say, there's a fairly definite ceiling to it?
I don't know, but I guess they're gambling.
Is stability worth it if it's the wrong person?
No, but I guess they're gambling that the ceiling is higher than we all think.
Yeah.
Because there's no other option.
Yeah.
Because who else can they get? I mean, you could probably argue that, I know this won't happen now because he's gone elsewhere. Maybe they would invest in a long-term strategy in someone like Nagelsmann or something, some up-and-coming coach who everyone seems to rate who's got his best years ahead of him. But that's a gamble because you have to ride out a lot of a rocky road until you get there. Mm-hmm. At least with Solskjaer, what's he going to become? He'll become the third most... manage the third most games for Man United behind like Busby and Ferguson. So they're obviously investing in him. He's going to be there for a little while. But then having said that, because of the way modern football is, right, Marcus, you know as well as I do, if they start like an absolute stinker and they get to Christmas and they're in about 14th, is he going to be there anyway? What does the contract mean?
Well,
it's difficult to say.
So far, they've lost 4-2 to QPR.
Well, that was a brilliant game as well, by the way.
Read into that what you will, but a lot of people enjoyed it.
I read a lot into it. I liked it. I've got no dog in this fight.
Yeah,
I thought it was excellent.
I mean, Jesse Lingard played, so we've got to be happy with that.
I mean, when you talk, Andy, you're saying about people, you know, getting sort of important people into the club, you're saying people know the club, love the club. Lingard's there.
Yeah, he is.
That's why they want him. That's
why
they want him. Also, Jadon Sancho, the second player to join for the 21-22 season. It's a bit of
a pain in the ass to say.
21-22, we'll go with.
Yeah.
After Tom Heaton, again, knows the club. So they're really building.
Has Tom Heaton signed for them again, is he?
Of course he has.
I didn't know that. Okay, right.
Get Tommy Heaton in there.
Yeah, somehow that seismic news got lost in the wash.
I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I think you'll find that is a lovely old job.
Yeah.
But Sancho himself, if you're not sure and you think, well, I've seen a few clips, 104 Bundesliga appearances, 38 goals and 51 assists. Impressive numbers for someone who is a sort of wide forward, you call it nowadays, I suppose.
I don't think he is. I think he's a genuine winger. That's what makes those numbers more remarkable.
He's a genuine winger
on either side as well.
Do you think, as I said earlier, his game is suited to the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it is.
Because
he's quick, because he can get players to commit, because he very rarely makes the wrong decision. The defensive part of his game has gone through a lot of work as well. He's worked on his fitness, I think, especially in 2021. He's looked at his diet. So he's put in a lot. He's done a lot off the pitch to make himself even better. He hasn't rested on a good start at Dortmund. He's progressed all the time. And I think United are getting a better player this year, actually, than they would have got last year.
Interesting.
There we go.
We have to say that Manchester United are now responsible for the four most expensive signings in Premier League history, with Pogba, Maguire, Lukaku and obviously Sancho. And we talk a lot, people talk about Manchester City spending a lot of money, and they do, that's factually correct. Manchester United, you know, there's a fair few quid knocking around there. Do you think they will land Rafael Varane this week? I mean, it's that is the chat.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, and also, what about Jules Koundé, the Sevilla defender? I mean, he's highly rated.
He's been linked with a couple of clubs, hasn't he?
He's been linked for a few.
Sevilla are not against selling him this summer, which they were last summer. It was clause or nothing last summer, whereas there's a little bit of flexibility.
But the thing
summer.
Is, though, but one of the things about Manchester United, before we move on from them, Luke, is, you know, getting Sancho is huge, but they still, despite Maguire's brilliant Euros, people still centre-half, they're maybe perhaps a little bit light, so they could bolster that this week. But also, it's that central midfield next to Pogba. People still have concerns there.
They do. Maguire's game seems to me to be, and this is not me trying to get out of what I said about Maguire last season, because I do think he's got flaws in his game. But I think what we learned in the summer is that his game is much more suited to international football than it is Premier League football.
Well, I think it's about the right partner as well,
true,
isn't it?
It always is these days.
And the fact is, Varane's pretty quick. I think that really, really helps. And
I've seen people say,
presumably people who haven't seen Varane play that much, I guess looking at him and thinking he's big, therefore he will be slow. He's pretty quick.
No, yeah, he is. He's a proper all-round athlete.
Yeah.
On the Man United thing, just on the expensive signings point you made before we move on, I find that really interesting because, you know, when Ed Woodward put this statement out saying that he's going to leave at the end of the calendar year this year, one of the first things he said in his statement was, under my tenure, we've invested over £1 billion in the squad, right?
I'd be trying to hide that.
Isn't that interesting? Because not only is he by his own admission kind of wanting to be judged on that, but it's also because that's what fans demand, right?
Yeah.
If you're a modern Man United fan,
yeah,
and you don't know or you didn't experience football before it became the circus that it is now, that's what you want. There is as much appetite now for big money signings as there is results, and he essentially typifies that. So it isn't hugely surprising, although I understand the Man City point, that Man United have been the team that does this, because I think Man City, for all their faults, and we don't need to get into a big discussion about where their money comes from now, but for all their faults, they have invested a lot in bringing players through. Mm. Like their record now for youth team players at England level is obscene.
Yeah.
It's something like they've got four or five captains of England age group levels, I think. And they've got 30-odd players in those teams as well.
I mean, the way they are, they're always going to have to spend a fortune to buy players that make a difference. You know, that's just where United are globally and where they've been for a very long time. But if they're investing that money in players of the right age, and of course Varane's a little more experienced, mm-hmm. but he's absolutely cast iron quality, mm. then I think it's worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, all this money, it's Newcastle United-esque, one might say. but perhaps more on them tomorrow. But will they be able to get Varane and so on? It'll be interesting to see what they can pull out the bag. Speaking of bags, we know that Neil Warnock has been pulling out photos of himself, signed photos of himself out of his bum bag. Lots of people tweeted us this. What I find quite enjoyable is people will tweet us this on the day it happens, and then up to about a week after the event, and it's very enjoyable. People are getting involved. Thank you very much for all.
I'll still get tagged in Instagram photos like a week later.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's absolutely wonderful.
It's not just that Neil Warnock was seen handing a young fan a signed photo of himself from out of a bum bag.
Yeah,
that in itself is great.
Yeah,
it's the way he did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear what he said?
Go on.
Here you go. Have one of them. There you go.
There you are.
Yeah, and it was almost the move that he performed while doing it.
Yeah.
It looked to me like this wasn't a new idea of Neil's. Like he'd done this before.
Oh, he knows. He knows what the people want.
What's in your bum bag, Spill?
Neil Warnock.
Neil rummaged. You saw him rummage past his reading glasses, past an open Werther's Originals that Sammy Lee gave him, and handed out a photo to a
miniature ordnance survey.
I don't know if the kid wanted it. I think the kid probably just wanted a selfie.
Maybe. I don't know. I think she looked quite pleased.
Maybe
he's not a selfie guy.
Also, most clubs aren't doing selfies and autographs at the moment.
Exactly.
Post COVID world.
That's why he's ahead of the curve.
Bear in mind, they're basically, he manages Middlesbrough, and they're basically going to the furthest away you can go in England because Neil wants to go on a holiday down there.
Well, no, because he lives down there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he does. They've completed their Southwest tour.
Yeah.
Which is what they do. They played Tavistock and Plymouth Argyle in friendlies, and no doubt they had a barbecue at Neil's house. Where does he live? No, he flies from Newquay to Middlesbrough.
I'm not sure.
They opened that route quite recently, perhaps because of him. I don't know, but
not lobbying from Neil.
I tell you who could do with getting together with Neil Warnock. I wonder if we could have a Thomas Muller move to Middlesbrough. Have you seen the picture of his feet that he put on Instagram?
No,
Thomas Muller.
Go on.
Oh my. They could do with some serious chiropody.
It's funny that, isn't it? Because you think you expect footballers to have beaten up feet, but at the same time you also expect them to be really well looked after because they're the tools of the trade,
that
right?
True.
So it's disappointing to hear that from Muller.
A little bit disappointing.
Thomas Muller, as he would say, probably. Do you get it? Thomas Muller. I just really labour the point for like four or five minutes.
There's been a lot of pre-season friendlies, of course. It is the season. Portsmouth tried out an interesting new strategy last week against
Bristol City. It was a strategy.
Well,
to be honest,
they ran out of players through injury, so Bristol City's new signing Marley Francois was subbed on for them. I didn't think this happened at professional football. I understand it's a friendly.
Yeah.
But this used to happen on like a Saturday morning when you're playing for your primary school or something like that. Yeah. Oh, well, you get one of theirs because you're out of players. But he then scored in the 101st minute against his own team to make it 3-3.
I couldn't see whether he celebrated or not.
Yeah.
I mean, because that is taking it to another level, that, if he did. I think they wanted to play... I think they wanted to play an extra half an hour at the end of the 90 minutes for fitness reasons.
Right.
But they didn't have enough players to stay fit, so they ended up doing that. I mean, what does annoy me about it is that you're right to say it's only a friendly, but you're also absolutely right to insist this goes in the running order of a show like Football Ramble. And it pisses me off that Portsmouth don't look at the optics. They don't go, do you know what? If we do that, everyone's going to know.
Yeah.
And we should probably, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
So let's just leave the half an hour, wrap it up there. The best thing about it was they managed to leave out of the story.
Yeah.
The classic Portsmouth thing, the fact that they were 2-0 up and they end up almost losing 3-2.
Yeah.
So it's not good on any measure.
You once called Southampton a joke of a club.
They are.
Do you think Portsmouth are more of a joke?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Proud, illustrious club with a rich history.
A rich history.
Which is why it makes me more angry.
Indeed. Yeah. Speaking of clubs with history, Newport County. Did you see this, Andy? Their 42-year-old starlet, Kevin Ellison, scored a lovely one in a friendly recently. He's yet to sign a contract extension, so that goal goes down as scored by Trialist 3.
Just insert the name Lionel Messi next week.
If you're 42 and you're going on trial still.
It reminds me of my mate when he went to see Ed. did replay, and they were playing, I think it was Falkirk, which is a bit of a tasty one. And at the, like 15 minutes towards the end, it was like, coming off number 14, whoever it was, Joe Bloggs, and coming on number 17, Trialist.
Everyone go, hey!
Everyone was like, what the?
We talked to,
and he scored.
Did he?
Sign him up.
Yeah, obviously. Sign him up. Sign him up. Kevin Ellison was one we talked about at the end of last season because was involved in the playoff picture, wasn't he? Newport and the garage match against Morecambe and all the rest of it.
He's a spiky gentleman.
Oh,
isn't
very
he?
Much so.
Yeah,
very
much so. That, enjoyed that. Of course, though, we're talking of, older players. I mean, Andros Townsend, still a lot left in the tank, Andy, but he's got a big move to Everton.
I mean, he's really young enough to be Kevin Ellison's son, pretty much, isn't he? You could just say big left footers.
He's only just 30.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what, but I think this move's surprised a few people. So interesting stuff. I mean, I'm loving that because I think under Rafa, he's got 5 goals in him this coming season for Everton. I think
he looks great in the kit. Already had a long range room on the pre-seasons that smashed off the post.
Do you know why I think he's older? Is because he was doing the pundit gig. And very well, by the way. You usually think that someone in this sort of twilight of their career. But old Andros, his last big move.
He had a good end to the season, I think, didn't he, as well? Fairly strong performances towards the end of the season. So maybe that's partly why he's made the move. I find it a strange one. But, you know, we'll wait and see. You never know. It's kind of interesting because I felt like, and I feel like an absolute dick for saying this at the time now. Like, I thought that when Arsenal signed Willian, for example, I said at the time, I kind of get it because like, he's experienced, he's won loads of stuff. Maybe it's what Arsenal need. Obviously, I didn't know he wasn't going to try a lick.
No.
I thought he was going to be good. And with Andros Townsend, he's an experienced Premier League player. He got a huge amount of Premier League appearances under his belt. Mm. And maybe Benitez wants, someone with a good amount of Premier League experience to kind of help him out. Having said that, I also said that when Roy Hodgson signed Paul Konchesky for Liverpool, that didn't really work out that well at all.
I think that was more of a jump and more of a leap. But I think, though, if you think about Hodgson and Benitez, there are comparisons to their managerial styles in terms of the sort of the zonal approach and perhaps not the most exciting football. But
winning the Liga twice.
Yeah, Champions League, Danish League, Andy, if we're going to start throwing in their accolades.
Probably speak multiple, they both speak multiple languages.
Definitely. Yeah. But there are slight comparisons. So I think Townsend can do all right there. But I would think that, wouldn't I, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, you would.
Right, let's have a quick break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1 for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi,
the lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, and everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Otra vez, dale, dale, dale. Bien, bien. Good, 1-0. Dale, Victor. Come on, Victor. Come on, Gonzalo. Bien, bien, Pizarro. Good, good.
I like this kind of work.
Yeah, looks good.
I like it.
We like it as well, Phil. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's time for emails.
They're reading out your emails. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, I don't know what to do with the fade out. It's quite hard to know when to come back in.
It is good, that. I hope he did a whole song of that, like 3.5 minutes, and then he's just given us...
Yeah.
That. I mean, that was the quandary, Luke, for a lot of DJs, I think, in the early 80s.
The fade out, when to come in. Yeah, so I know that on, say, like a commercial radio station that plays music, they have the length of the song for the DJ to know, the presenter, and they also have the point of the song when the singer comes in. Mm-hmm. So that's how they know how to talk over it and when to stop talking when the singer comes in.
Yeah.
Need a bit of that for this email jingle. Anyway, we haven't actually got emails today. I asked our listeners on Twitter instead what they've been doing on Saturday afternoons during the off-season break, just to, you know, mix it up a little bit because the season hasn't started yet. And amazingly, Ben Stanley, who I know is a long-term listener to the show, hello to you, Ben, he's been making his own fresh pesto. Mm. He shared photos of it and everything.
Good
he
man.
Said his in-laws have got a forest of basil at the back of their house. And the photos are amazing. And he's been kind enough to share the following recipe with us. 800 grams of basil. Mm. It's a lot of basil.
Yep.
500 grams of toasted pine nuts. Got a toast to bring the flavour
People were saying there was way too many pine nuts in there.
Yeah, producer
but
Charles
I trust
there.
Ben with
I
this.
Do as well. 500 grams of parmesan or pecorino romano, 2 heads of garlic, 1.5 litres of olive oil, blanch the basil for 10 seconds to kill the browning enzyme. Doesn't kill the flavour though. Blitz to preferred texture, salt to taste.
Love that.
There you go.
Come on.
If you're going to go and try that, let us know how your results were, how you got on. Dave Wins Life on Twitter said, I painted a low-quality acrylic portrait of Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, there he is again. Didn't he do well?
Thank you. Drank loads of Campari. That's a Pete Donaldson favourite. Fell down the stairs and threw up at 5-a-side the next day.
Oh, what bad luck.
Here they come. They're so appealing. Come on, Dave. Do
Harder than a 7, it's a 10.
Thanks for that, Dave. Potsy said, we painted one wall of our living room 2.5 years ago, and I finally painted the rest today. That's all I'll be doing for the next 2.5 years. Thanks, Potsy.
Nice one, Potsy. I've got one from Brian Kinlan, who says, a travesty that the Ramble isn't on whilst Fizzer is melting down, having a meltdown perhaps, and providing some top drawer press conference clips. Please ensure it's given top of the bill priority on the first show back. Well, top of the second half, if you will, Brian. But do email us, show at footballramble.com before we move on to Phil. But yes, Phil Neville, Brian, you're absolutely right. He they managed to stop the rot last night, though, with a 1-1 draw with Philadelphia Union. They were 5 minutes away from a victory, sadly.
I mean, far be it for me, and you guys can shout me down here, and I know it's easy to say from the studio, and we haven't got to do any of this kind of hard work, but I don't think Phil Neville's a very good manager, and I don't know if he can sort this out.
Are you saying English Frank de Boer?
Now, that is strong.
No, because Frank de Boer at least won titles in his own country. But Andy,
yeah, true.
Andy,
that's true. It's just so long ago that no one can remember it anymore.
It's quite hard for Phil Neville to win the Premier League title.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, because he's shit. First and foremost. Look, he's not going to be given
all right,
a job.
Okay, Luke. We've heard one side. One side of the argument. Andy, would you like to counter Luke's point about Phil Neville?
You like Spanish football.
While we're on into my... I love the kit.
Uh-huh.
I love the kit.
Yeah, go on. Anything else?
Really, that is it.
Oh, I see.
I think Phil Neville, as we all know, and I've officially declared it this morning on Twitter, Phil Neville is the heir to the Kevin Keegan throne on this show. It's official.
Oh, yeah.
If Kevin Keegan is Oasis, Phil Neville is Kasabian. If Kevin Keegan is God, Phil Neville is Jesus.
What? That doesn't work at all.
Not literally.
It doesn't work.
But it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
I'll tell you what, that's going on the dust jacket of the book. Yeah.
And I also, before you come back, I really want to make this point, if I may, that he's in trouble at Inter Miami. Who could have possibly seen this coming? Blah, blah, blah. All of us. But I think if you're in a post-match press conference and you're saying, so sometimes when managers run the fires, you've all seen, you know this in the past. Say you're in a relegation battle and you say, we've got X amount of cup finals till the end of the season. For me, as a supporter of that club, I want the manager to be saying a maximum number of, say, five. Mm. We've got five cup finals being done.
Do you know, I would stretch that to maybe seven.
Okay, fine. Phil said he's got 23 cup finals. It's gone so wrong so early.
Blimey.
There's 23 cup finals till the end of the season.
There's a lot of medals to be won.
I mean,
the thing is, Phil Neville could have smiled and gone, well, of course, we can't get relegated, so we can just think about next season. I mean, yes, he vowed to take a long, hard look at himself. He said, I've been in football long enough. I know the consequences. That's no problem to me. We're doing everything in our power. He said, I looked in the players' eyes. There was hurt. All this sort of stirring speech. Mm. And I thought, you know, in the spirit of Miami, you might say, you know, we will fight them on the pitches. We will fight them on the beaches. And I thought, well, it's a change of what you're doing on the beaches there. But David Beckham.
Fighting your own fist.
Oh dear, they need to finish well. Finish the season well, Andy, you would say. But David Beckham, sporting a bleached blonde hairdo, was in attendance. And apparently, Fizzer still has his backing. David's presence is vital, and it shows that we're all in it together.
Yeah, he's got David Beckham's backing. But David's fucking out. David Beckham's backing, who probably just said, he's one of my best mates. So it would be awkward, wouldn't it, for me to say anything else?
It's not possible to get relegated, and he's one of my best mates. So there we are. I mean, do you feel sorry for Gonzalo Higuain, Kieran Gibbs, Ryan Shawcross, all the big names are still there?
I don't feel sorry for any of them because they're probably all having a super time.
Okay. Well, evidently, the results suggest that off the field they're... anyway. But also in MLS... Atlanta United have parted ways with Gabriel Heinze. Mm. Rather controversially, Andy. There's some allegations.
It's not controversial that they've got rid of him. Okay. In fact, I think it's one of those where the players are mightily relieved.
Yes.
It's like a Felix Magath type situation.
Yeah, well, there was...
What's been alleged?
Well, it's been alleged to the players' union that he denied them water during training. Whereas Magath took it further and actually poured it out while they watched onto the ground.
More of a psychological aspect to it.
Exactly. Now run up that hill.
If I break them psychologically, will they play better or worse? Let's find out. Yeah. Do you remember the old Magath story about how he used to make a run to the top of Hill and back 15 times or whatever? And then during the winter months, it would be dark.
Mm.
So they thought, well, there's no way he's going to be able to tell.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll so fall over and break our ankles.
We'll just pretend that we're going to go up there.
Mm.
And then apparently the last thing he said in the instructions before sending them up there in the dark was, there's a tree at the top. I want you each to bring me back a leaf.
Oh.
But the thing is, it's quite fondly remembered, obviously not by the players who took part in it, but they were redoing the training ground at Wolfsburg recently. And they were going to get rid of one of the stands where Magat used to make them run from the bottom to the top. And they're out, like, no, that's Felix's stand.
Oh, you, I thought you were going to left a load of skeletons under it.
You can't do that.
Magat been killing his own dog.
Moldy cheese as well.
Magat Mount is staying. Basically. Yeah,
good to hear.
I totally agree. By the way, mention Heinze. Speaking of Argentinians doing aggressive things, Boca Juniors.
And you think VAR gets under the skins of the English?
My goodness. Yeah,
so what happened here?
Boca Juniors, they were playing Atletico Mineiro. And
in the last 16 of the Copa Libertadores.
Yeah, it was in Brazil, this. There was a VAR decision that evidently went against Boca Juniors, and then they lost on penalties. And then the players just went mad in the, what was it, the tunnel or the concourse or something after the game?
Yeah, that's right.
Some of you would have seen the footage of this.
Marcus Rojo was involved.
Yeah.
Chucked a fire extinguisher at the police.
Yeah. Yeah, man, really? It was mad. It was absolutely mad. They had to go down to the police station.
I mean, what do you think he was thinking at the time? Like, there's no way you could get away with this at Manchester United.
Yeah.
Well, I hope Fizzer didn't watch it.
No.
That's motivational tips.
Not the attitude.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't see that. I'll check that out later.
Yeah, indeed. Right, gentlemen, we're going to finish today's show by talking about the Olympic Games. André-Pierre Gignac playing for France, Andy Brassel. Come on! The 35-year-old, because you're allowed 3 overage players, of course.
Yeah.
In the Olympic Games, which is why it doesn't count as an international cap, as a full cap, because it is an age cap tournament.
Which is a shame, because he hasn't played officially for France since 2016, I don't think.
I think he's fine with that, to be honest.
He's having a lovely time.
This game, this 4-3 against South Africa, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, legitimately, there could have been 20 goals in the game. It was absolutely remarkable. There were goals ruled out for offside, there was missed penalties, just chance after chance after chance. Mm. Yet it still went into half-time at 0-0.
Yeah.
And then France's game exploded further.
Yeah. France's goalkeeper, Paul Bernardoni, said it was like the Alamo.
Yeah. There was
those were his words.
There was absolutely no evidence anywhere of any defending.
Yeah. Remarkable. Some great goals scored as well. When South Africa went 3-2 up, they probably thought they'd won it. What a strike.
And they were the better team for most of it. Mm. France.
Mokka Wenner scored a beauty. Is that the guy you're talking about?
France were very, very sketchy. But Gignac, I mean, I keep coming back to strikers who get better, not just maintain their level, but get better in their 30s. He's a great example of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you think he's Tigres' top goal scorer of all time. Mm-hmm. He's won the CONCACAF Champions League. He's done some incredible things over there.
Yeah, he has, and he's scoring for France at the Olympics. He's got 4 already in the tournament, of course. But they did get a bit of a shellacking from Mexico, though.
Yeah, they did. And for that reason, and because Japan won their second game, to make sure of going through, they have to beat Japan by 2 clear goals in the last game to go through to the quarterfinals. Now, they could get a favour in the other game, but that's how they need it to work for him. But I know Gignac is the headline for a lot of people. I think we need a word for Teji Savanier, who scored the France winner. Just an amazing story, really, from a Romani family. He's never really felt that comfortable away from home. Mm. So didn't make it to the top flight until he was, 27? He got binned off by Montpellier when he was a kid. He got offered an amateur contract and decided it wasn't enough after training with them for a pretty long time. Mm-hmm. And has finally made it back to Montpellier, which is where he grew up. He still lives in the same neighborhood where he grew up. When he got the call to play in the Olympics, he was camping with his mates.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he was enjoying a spritz, I think. And the phone went. And,
well, there was no rumour he was going to get the nod at all.
Not to him, because he's always said, because he could have played for Algeria, because his granddad is Algerian. And he came out and he said at the time, look, people are making out like I'm going to play for Algeria. I respect my Algerian heritage, even though it's miles off. The only international team I would ever play for is France.
Right.
And I accept that that's probably not going to happen. So even when he's there in his cutoffs, like with a beer in his hand, and he's got the phone on, he's like, yeah, I might be around a campfire, but I'm definitely coming to Tokyo. And he's got incredible technique. I mean, people look at him because he's had this unusual background and think, oh, he could never be top level. Honestly, the talent that he has. And that goal, the spin, the finish, it's absolutely incredible.
It was a great finish, great winner.
He's a super player. I'm really pleased for him.
Yeah, well, they needed to win it, though. Because as I say, they lost the first game.
Oh, yeah, they were done if he hadn't scored that goal. Yeah. And that was, what, in the 92nd minute?
Yeah, so they're still alive. They're still alive. Brazil, speaking of hat-tricks, Richarlison, he got one, didn't he? Yeah. Lovely to see Dani Alves at the age of 38 playing for them at the Olympics. He cannot get enough of football. He just absolutely loves it. And Brazil love that tournament as well, the defending champions, of course. Speaking of love, Andy, Max Kruse proposing to his girlfriend live on TV after Germany beat Saudi Arabia 3-2.
AKA the Domenech.
Yeah.
The Raman Domenech.
This was a successful one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was successful. And also he did it in Kurdish because his girlfriend's Kurdish.
Oh, that's a nice touch.
He carried it off with T-shirt and words. I mean, he's pretty smooth, Max Kruse. I mean, remember, he was on Clubhouse a couple of months ago giving sex tips to fans.
Blimey.
So he's a man who's confident.
Yeah.
Evidently.
High risk move proposing to someone on national TV, live TV. Could go very wrong.
Well, I mean, I guess if it didn't go well, you could just go when you're like sort of broadcasting from Tokyo, just go, the feed went down.
Yeah, but eventually you're going to have to open up, aren't you, and tell people why you're not getting married. Yeah. Oh, where's the marriage? Oh, yes, yeah, sometime soon.
After the Olympics has ended by
after
then,
she definitely said yes, we then had a chat, and I thought, nah.
Yeah. I changed my mind. And anyone who says I didn't is a liar.
Exactly. Yeah. Back to the Olympic football, though. Great Britain's women's team have progressed to the knockout stages after beating Chile and Japan so far. they play Canada next. Ellen White is having a lovely old time. She scored all three goals. She's a good forward, isn't she?
Lovely finish against Chile.
Yeah,
very, very good.
She knows what she's doing. Yeah. There's a sort of when I think of Ellen White, I think of a very reliable forward. There's a touch of that, the sort of Alan Shearer quality.
I know what you mean. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, better very celebration good. As well.
Yeah, any celebration for old Alan.
Yeah.
But they've kept two clean sheets. I think there's only been three clean sheets in the women's tournament thus far, and Team GB.
Fair to say, Zambia haven't adopted that clean sheet policy.
They haven't. They haven't got the clean sheet policy, but they have got the hat trick policy.
Yeah, exactly. What would you prefer?
I don't know. But poor old captain Barbara Bander, despite scoring hat tricks in both games, they've only got 1 point. They drew 4-4 with China. You would be a bit like, look, come on. Come on, team. Yeah. I'm keeping my side of the bargain here. Well, I'm putting in the goals.
Maybe the sense is we don't need to defend. We've got Barbara scoring all the goals.
Yeah, but it must be quite a weird feeling to go off of a pitch having scored a hat trick but also losing 10-3. Because that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassing result. If someone wants to win and do well, it's not like losing 4-3.
Mm. Is it as embarrassing as it was for the States getting absolutely spanked by Sweden?
Well, that was crazy.
I mean, it's been an incredible start to this tournament.
Mm. It has. So they were, 44 games unbeaten? And I actually think, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same, that could be a really good thing to happen to them early on, because it's at a stage in a tournament where they can still recover from it. It might give them the kick-up they ask they need. If you go that many games unbeaten, it just goes to show you how good it is when a team like Arsenal did that thing in the Premier League or whatever. Because you have to maintain your intensity. But to get that kick up the arse is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, and I think for a lot of neutrals, certainly during the 2019, and people were learning about the women's game during the 2019 World Cup, were a bit like, yeah, the States are good and they know it.
Yeah. Mm.
So I think a lot of neutrals enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, they would, absolutely. You're up there to be shot at, for sure.
Absolutely, right. Well, there we are.
Being a Pompey fan. Everyone wants a piece of it.
Do they?
Yeah. Most people get one.
And a small piece of that.
Yeah.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. We will, of course, chat more Olympic football as the tournament progresses and as we progress through the week. Of course, we're back Monday to Friday now. We are back in your ears. We are getting ready for the new season, of course, just on the horizon. But of course, there is football happening, as we just said. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Petey and Jimmy.
That'd be nice.
I'm sure we'll mention Newcastle United.
I'm too busy tomorrow because I need to start the mind games with Jules Breach about fantasy football.
Oh, all right, okay.
Got to start that campaign again.
Very early.
Yeah.
Don't you owe her a roast?
Yeah. And it cost me a lot of money to the charity of her choice, my big mouth last year. So
I mean, if you're going to deliver a roast dinner, I would suggest that July or August is probably the best time to do it.
She's too busy to come for dinner with me.
So did it? Because in the Ramble League, it was her and Lars that were going for top spot. Did she win it?
I can't quite remember now. It seems like a long time ago, but it was definitely them two on the final day.
I'm quite sure.
I think
that
it might be Lars.
I finished a very respectable third.
Yeah, I came fourth, I think.
Did you?
Yeah, I tailed off badly.
Andy, where did you finish?
I was
nowhere
in
is the answer.
I participated.
Yeah, nowhere. Exactly. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in tomorrow. Me, Petey, and Jimmy will be in your ears. Until then, thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.